This week is Parshas Va'era. So we are going to look through Parshas Va'era with the commentary of the Or HaChaim, as usual this year. And we'll look at his insights. The insights that I want to focus on are where he emphasizes language. Because that really generally is my favorite thing, where they don't just make things, I don't want to call make things up. But where their commentary isn't trying to be esoteric, but it's saying, how can I read within the text that which I'm trying to tell you? So that's the direction which we're going to, by and large, be headed in this. Okay, so Parshas Va'era, and I want to try to cover the gamut of what's in here. Parshas Va'era can be divided basically into three sections. The first one is essentially the introduction, which includes the four Lashonos of Geula, where Hashem says to Moshe, here's the game plan. The phrases we're familiar with because of the Haggadah. Then we have a small, what seems to be an interlude, in which where Moshe objects, and actually Moshe's objection is recorded twice, though there are slight variations in them, which makes them not exactly the same. It's not a repeat. There's a change in which Moshe talks about being an Aral Sfasayim, so I'll just leave it at that. It's a summary, although that objection does appear twice. And then we're essentially introduced to that's concluded with Hashem telling Moshe the game plan again, saying that you and Aaron are going to go together. And after that, we see the Makos, right, starting with Moshe and Aaron coming before Paro and the staff being turned into a tanin. And when I say the staff, I don't mean a specific staff. I mean the staff which is talked about. And there is a distinction very clearly made in the text between the staff of Moshe and the staff of Aaron. I've emphasized that in the past, so I don't want to get lost in that because the Or HaChaim doesn't really pay much attention to that. And that, of course, leads the way into the rest of the plagues. And the plagues in Parshas Va'era, you go through Barad, through the plague of hail, which is the first seven plagues. Okay, so we'll look at some of them, a few insights which I just thought to be different ideas which I've liked in the past, but discovered that they were in the Or HaChaim, which was nice. Okay, so we begin in the Aretz Baruch Hu Mishnah, it's on page 318, and the Or HaChaim, like many people before him, note that the parsha begins with a strange kind of anomaly. Look at the opening pasuk: Vayidaber Elokim El Moshe. Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. Vayidaber means, and there was a speaking. Who speaks? Elokim. Shem Elokim. The name of... Right, and there's also that harshness. So judgment, Elokim, is combined with Vayidaber. And Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. And what does Elokim say? No. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe L'mor. Yeah, no, in this case it is. But anyway, Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. So in the same pasuk you have a dibur and an amira, and you have Elokim and you have Hashem. So it seems to be a little, I mean, forgive me, not that I want to call God a little schizophrenic, and I'm certainly not making fun of people who are schizophrenic, but that's what it seems to be is going on here. Who are you, God? And then what is the next thing that he does? Vayirel Abraham be'el Shaddai, Ushmi Hashem. I mean, like, who are you? Are you Elokim? Are you Hashem? Are you Kel Shaddai? Look, we know that God has different names, and that's fine. So we don't have a problem per se, but they're, you know, Eina Mikra Zeh Omer Ela Darsheni, right? We don't understand what's going on. So one of the approaches that the Or HaChaim says is, hold on, you got to look back a little bit. Okay, and what happens is if you turn back a page 316, you have to remember that after Moshe went to Paro and Paro said nothing doing mi Hashem, right? Who is Hashem? I'm not sending the B'nai Israel out. No. Actually, not only that, I'm making their work harder. So you get to Maftir by Yoshev Moshe El Hashem vayomar. Moshe returns to Hashem again. That's Yud Kei Vav Kei, which means it's God's name of mercy, and he says, Adonai, that's Shem Adnus, Aleph Dalad Nun Yud, Lama Arios, Lama Zed, Lama Zed Shaltani, and why are you bad to the nation? Things have become worse since this all happened. Why was I sent? Meyaz Bas Yaparel Deber B'Shmecha, right? I came, I spoke in your name, Meir Alam, Azavetzel, Yitzal, Tzmecha, and you haven't saved the people. Vayomer Yudke Vavke, so Hashem says to Moshe, Ata Tirah Asher Asel Faro, you're going to now see, not you, actually, Ata is not a good, I mean, the tough in Tirah means you, so Ata, now you will see, Ata with an ayin, now you will see, Asher Asel Faro, you're going to see what I'm going to do to Paro, Ki Yad Chazaka Yishalchem, Yad Chazaka Yigar Shem Me'artzo. Now there is a break there, even though the chapter break starts on that last pasuk of the Parsha, the chapter break is wrong, okay, the chapter break does not come from Jewish sources. But nevertheless, what is correct about it is that that is the lead-in to God seemingly continuing this conversation. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, and then we see Vayidaber Elokim el Moshe, Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. Okay, so that's the introduction, because I wanted you to see where the Or HaChaim is coming from in his commentary on this pasuk. Okay, now when I give you a full page like this, if you see that the entire first page is his commentary on this one pasuk. So when we do that, and there's a lot more, by the way, I didn't even give you. I have a whole second page, which is a commentary, which is a continuation of the commentary in this pasuk. But we'll just look at some of this, and I'm going to skip around. So hopefully you'll be able to follow along with me. Okay. So we'll read the first thing, which is the question that the Or HaChaim says. First, we need to know what was the dibur, what was the speaking that came from Elohim, the name of judgment. Why does he need to tell him that Ani Hashem? Okay, Ani Hashem. So actually, last year we saw what I found to be a fascinating commentary in the Ksava Kabbalah class, the partial class we use the Ksava Kabbalah, it's Rabbi Yaakov Mecklenburg. So he says that Ani is a name of God. Okay, but he describes a character trait. No, Ani is like from the word of Elohim, Inal Yado. Okay, Ani is a name of God, and which is not a far stretch, because we have a tradition that God has many names. So it's not a big deal. And it answers, and he uses that answer a lot of times in the Torah to say that when God says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, what does it mean, Ani? Ani comes from a word which means the one who causes things to happen. Like, V'Elokim Inal Yado, Aleph Nun, is a character trait of God. So that was the Ksava Kabbalah's answer for a lot of things. Fascinating stuff, okay? Obviously, the Or HaChaim has a very different approach, and he looks at the word Ani to mean, very simply, I. So that is not going to be his mahalach. But anyway, so what do we have here? Okay? Why do we have the Dibur, Elohim, Vayomer, Hashem, etc.? Okay? So he says here, if you look at the second line, okay, yeah. Mitzadche, Herelo Ponim Tzochkos, Ponim Smechos, I mean the second paragraph, okay? That what God showed Moshe is a face, Kavyochel, right? A face of laughter, a face of Simcha, which are indicated with Shem Havaya. Okay? And for that, okay, so in other words, the whole point is that Moshe needs a little bit of training before he goes to Paro. Okay, and this is actually an underlying theme expressed by a number of the commentaries in the Torah who try to discuss and try to explain what Moshe's speech impediment was. Okay, because some say that Moshe had an injury, Moshe had a deformity, and some of the commentaries actually try to go to great lengths to explain which sounds Moshe was unable to produce, which is, you know, an interesting study in and of itself. Okay, but the commentary that I actually appreciate the most, and I don't remember who it was that saw it, but who basically says that Moshe's speech impediment was in his mind. Okay. Not a stutter. No, that he, you know, what's the number one fear? What's Jerry Seinfeld's line? The number one fear of America is public speaking, right? And the second fear is death. He says so. More people would rather be in the casket than giving the eulogy, right? That's Jerry Seinfeld's line. Okay, so but yeah, it's a big fear to be speaking in public, and that's why. And he's going to explain actually why there's a distinction which is made between what Aaron's role is originally versus what Aaron's role is not. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag. We'll see it soon. Okay? But this is the first thing which we're seeing here, that Moshe needs to when he is going to, when he's speaking Lifnei Melech Gadol, that's in the first line. I skipped that. I shouldn't have skipped that. Lifnei Melech Gadol. So he needs to understand that there are different ways in which you present yourself. So when you present yourself before Yud Kei Vav Kei, happy. When you present yourself before Elokim, then there's Mora. There's a fear. Bechinas Adin. So who am Rabbi? Daber Elokim Moshe. So what does that mean? Shir am Rabbi. Daber Elokim. Who ki akosuv yagid shashem shayab Hashem daber kol dvarim amurim parshas bechinas Hashem Elokim chin ponim amafchidim aridim asanet daber ilav. So when God speaks, God is sending a message of Mora, a message of reverence and fear. Okay, in other words, what he's doing, the idea of saying Ani Hashem is a way of making Moshe feel comfortable, even though the overarching theme is that there is din going on here. Okay, now that's one approach. That's one approach. I mean, I think I saw it in the Chassam Sofer, who said that after Moshe complained at the end of the previous parsha, God got angry at him. Right? That's why Deber Elokim. Harsh, right? But then when he realized that, why was Moshe complaining? Because he was really looking out for the Bnei Yisrael. So, Vayomer Elov Ani Hashem. All right, because you are coming from a good place, I think that was the Chassam Sofer. Anyway, so now, the next paragraph, let's go to the next one. Od Yitzal Zederech, Vayidaber Elokim, Ki Diberi To Mishpat. Well, Ma'u Mishpat. So God is talking to Moshe in a language of judgment. And what is that language of judgment? Kitano Taina Hanishmas. Because he made a complaint which is now going to be heard. What's the complaint? God, this isn't fair. Okay, well, let's deal. Let's see if this is fair. Okay? You're saying that I'm not fair, but hold on, Moshe. Don't rush to judge. In other words, there's a reason. Okay, and not only that. Not only that, let's see, one second. Yeah, we're going to go to the next paragraph in just a second. But he says here, towards the end, if you look at probably about four lines at the bottom, the middle of the fifth word on the line. Me'ata lo yihye shavar tzar yisrael miyodeim ha yuchayavin kein v'avonam garam l'tzadakot l'tashlum gzeras inui. In other words, what happens to the Bnei Yisrael, do we know if they're deserving? Like maybe their behavior was bad. Oh, or maybe there were just some people who were worthy of this treatment because they didn't believe. And you see, that the elders, they retreated. They did not go with Moshe. They started coming to Moshe, but they did not. And so this result, in other words, the fact that Moshe and Aaron ended up going alone to Paro, without any support from the people, and the Zakenim, right, of all people, the elders should say, hey, Paro, you know, we finally have somebody who's going to say something, and we support him. But they chickened out. And so he's saying that maybe that's part of the problem. That's why God comes in here and says, judgment, you know, you want to blame me, Moshe, the fact of the matter is that I thought that they were going to come, I gave them Bechira Chavshis, I gave them free will, and they chickened out. That's actually very disturbing. Another perspective, Od Yitzal Zeh, so we're in the second last paragraph on the page. Okay, I'll say it. Moshe says, "Why do you make things bad? Why do you send me?" Here comes the answer. In response to why do you make things bad, the Beri Toka shows God speaks to him with Vayidaber. She the Ber Lifnei Eloha below Derecha, but he didn't speak nicely to God, and so God was judgmental on him. Vayidaber Elokim. Okay. Right? Or maybe God is, right, judgmental on him. Skip to the next Ukeneged, which is going to be in the middle of, towards the end of the third line. Ukeneged lama shlachtani, and in response to his saying, why did you send me? Hey Shivi Amar Alav, Ani Hashem, I'm Hashem, Perish Rachman Ani. Right? Why did I send you, Moshe? Because I am the merciful one. Lo yecholti lisbo ra'os Yisrael b'tzar ad eis ketz. Okay, that I Hashem says, I couldn't bear to see the Bnei Yisrael going until the end of the... Okay, so in other words, we have the Torah, God told Abraham that there are going to be 400 years. So 400 years, we look at the 400 years starts from the birth of Yitzchak. But one could certainly make the argument that God said that they're going to be strangers in a strange land for 400 years. So the fact that they only end up being there for 210 years from the time that Yaakov goes down, so if we even forget about, right, what did God say to Avram? They're going to work for them, and they're going to enslave them, and they're going to make them suffer 400 years.
Yeah, but you could put so, a comma
in. Okay, yes, of course. There are plenty of commentaries. But I'm saying, but I said you can also read it that God was saying that they're going to be there for 400 years.
Right.
So the fact that they end up leaving after, I know that. I'm saying, the point that he's making is the fact that they leave after 210 years, and of that 210 years, only a little more than half it was actually time of Shibud, slavery and suffering, is because God said, you know what? Enough is enough. And that's the other argument that he's trying to make here. And that's why God says, Ani Hashem, because I know what it was supposed to be, but it can't go on this way. Right? Egypt has taken it too far, etc. Hosea, see, Tzalti, Galti, Lokafi.
It
could be. I think that what we would have to say, at least at the very beginning, is that the amount of time that Moshe is in Egypt is really training. Right? I mean, if you remember the story I told you before we started, right? By the time you get to Har Sinai, how much do the people really know Moshe? Right, they don't really know him. He's a guy. He makes an announcement. He talks to the king, right? And then something happens. That's pretty cool. And then he says, everybody follow me. And then they leave. And then he does some miracle at the sea. And then they're just wandering around the desert until they finally get to this place. Like, and what's going to happen here? And then he goes up a mountain, disappears for 40 days. I mean, they don't, you know, that's a few months. So they still don't know. Plus probably a year, right? The amount of time the place. But they don't. They don't. He's not yet Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Karban Pesach is at the very end. Here, for sure, they don't know him.
It's right before they leave Egypt.
No, here, for sure, they don't know him. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying.
But that's what he's saying.
Why should they trust him?
Right.
He has no credibility.
Okay. Right.
I think that's one of his major concerns. I don't have credibility for this job.
Right. Okay. So anyway, that's what I wanted to show you here at the very beginning, that we have this concept of Elohim and Yudke Vavke, and that there's just different motifs that are being pulled out in terms of the relationship. And if you focus... The way that I appeared to the Avos was with the name Kel Shakai.
Yeah, but how does that relate to what we're talking about?
He doesn't address... No, what he's saying is that I want you to know about the Yud Kei Vav Kei aspect, and that's, if you look through the rest of this section, I mean, you can count them. Go through, go look at Pasuk Vav. Chein Emor L'Bnei Yisrael Ani Hashem. Okay? Pasuk Vav. Yisrael Elokim Vidatem Ki Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I would see Eschem. If you see Eschem, it's Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. V'nasati Yisrael Elokim Orashah Ani Hashem. Okay, so in other words, he's really focusing. And again, not that he doesn't say that he's Elohim, the Ayisi Lechem Lelokim, which might be a capital G, right? I'm going to be to them a God who's the God Yudke Vavke. So, in other words, the point is that he's focusing and bringing out this relationship of being a Yudke Vavke to them, which is a name of God which invokes mercy. So we can talk, you know, for a long time perhaps about the necessity of the Shibud, of the slavery, what was the whole point? Was that really necessary? God, if you're merciful, how could you allow that to happen? That we can have that conversation, but there are bigger, deeper, more profound reasons for why the Shibud needed to happen. It's easy for me to say it. I'm an armchair slave, right? I didn't experience it. But the point is that is beyond me. I can't understand that. But if God is saying it was supposed to be 400 years, and the amount of Shibud ends up being somewhere between 110 to 120 years, well, then that's a merciful God who's saying, you know what, I'm cutting it down by two-thirds. Okay? Or knocking the amount of time that you're in Israel, you know, by close to a half. So that's there's an element of mercy there. Right? If somebody's supposed to be a slave for 80 years, and when he's 40, you say, hey, buddy, you're free to go, that's mercy. I think it's mercy. Now, maybe it's not nice he was ever a slave. Okay, different conversation. But if that's the reality. Okay, so anyway, they concludes over there that at the beginning, top of page 320, Vaydaber Moshe Kenel Bnei Yisrael. Moshe gives over this message to the Bnei Yisrael. And they didn't listen to Moshe because of shortness of breath and because of the difficulty of the labor. So the Or HaChaim is an interesting insight. I gave you, it's a very short one here on the top of page 2, where he says, Ulai, ki letzad shelo yu b'nei Torah lo shamu. He says, they weren't b'nei Torah. Okay, now that's not an insult to the b'nei Yisrael. What do you mean they weren't b'nei Torah? How can you say the descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are not b'nei Torah? It was very simple. The Torah hadn't been given yet. So, and any kind of religion or faith which they may have had has been snuffed out. Who has time for any of that stuff? Despite what Cecil B. DeMille will tell you, right? You ever watch the Ten Commandments? So every time somebody addresses God, they get this glazy look in their eye, and they look off to the camera, like at a 45-degree angle, and they, you know, this is a terrible thing, but we will leave one day. That's what they do in the movie. It's kind of silly. It's like, okay, like Cecil B. DeMille is telling them, all right, folks, when you talk to God, you know, look in that direction, like right over there, the angle. Okay, anyway, but so the Or HaChaim is saying, Lo yu b'nei Torah, because they weren't b'nei Torah, they didn't listen. Uzeh yikra kotzer ruach, ki ha-Torah marcheves libo shel adam. And that's why there was shortness of breath, because the Torah is what gives a person, it expands a person's heart, gives a person the ability to breathe better. All right, now, I mean, I read something like that, and I kind of scratch my head, because, like, how could they become b'nei Torah? What does that even mean? So, you know, we have a phrase, B'nai Torah. But it's B'nai Torah, somebody who's, like, you know, devout, somebody who is committed to Yadus, to Judaism, etc. Fine. Okay, but, you know, so what does that mean? These people didn't have an opportunity. So are you criticizing them on account of that? Or are you saying that this is just the state of fact, this is what it is? Right? It's like we say about people who live Judaism in a way which is not the way we live our Judaism. What do we say about them? That they love B'nai Torah, right? It's not a criticism. They're Tinok Shenishba, right? We don't say that we're not criticizing. We're saying they don't know. They don't know.
It was before Matan Torah.
Right. Okay. Fine. Right. All right. Agreed. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not. You know, I don't know completely what he's talking about, but maybe this is what he means. Now, why did I share that with you? Because he doubles down on it in the next comment. Because in the next thing in the pasuk is Ba'ud Hashem Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Lemor. Okay, that's just to answer your question. You have a dibur and Hashem, and that happens all the time in the Torah. Bo daber al paro melech mitzrayim. Go speak to Paro, king of Egypt. I mean, bo really means to come. Vishalach is b'nei Yisrael me'artzo. Now, what is vishalach? Okay, and he should send, and he will send. What does that mean? So that's actually one of the questions the Or HaChaim asked. I didn't give you that, about what the use of the letter vav is there. But anyway, Vaydaber Moshe lifnei Hashem lemor. So Moshe's response to Hashem is, Hein b'nei Yisrael lo shamu elai. B'nei Yisrael haven't listened to me. Ve'er ish meni paro. How is Paro going to listen to me? V'ani aral sfasayim. Okay, and then he throws this line about his being aral sfasayim. Okay, so let's see how the Or HaChaim breaks this situation down. Because his perspective shows us what Moshe's expectations were, and essentially what God had told him, and where Moshe went with that. Okay, so let's take a look. We're in Pasuk Beis. We're going to be going through page 2. If I skip a little bit, I will let you know. Okay, Pasuk Beis. It's the towards the top of page 2, the third little paragraph, but that's going to carry us through the rest of page 2. Okay, Kasha Umro Lemor Kilamiyom Arashem Devre Moshe. To whom is Hashem saying the words of Moshe? Okay? Ulai Shei Chavein HaKasuk Lomar Kiloishiv Moshe Chuvazo Lebal Yelech Mishlichusel Lekamisha Mislonein Al Atzmo. Moshe wasn't really giving any answer. Moshe was just complaining about himself. Shelo Yitzliach, that he wasn't successful. Vuhomro Tevas Lemor. Again, what's the line? Moshe says, Lefnei Hashem Lemor. What is literally Lemor? It means to say. Debar Hashem Moshe Lemor means Hashem gave Moshe instruction to tell over. If Moshe is responding to Hashem saying something and the Torah says it's Lemor, but Moshe is telling Hashem to say it to somebody. So maybe it's just that Moshe is just talking aloud. Okay, Perushain Taklus Satibur El Amira, Lo Taklus Ulasa, Shimniyas Hashem. It's just something that Moshe needed to get out. Okay, skip to the next one. Hey, B'nai Israel.
What did Moshe mean by saying he had sealed lips?
Okay, we're going to get there. Okay, hey, B'nai Israel. Kavachomer Zayitz Dak Fafim Asher Barashdi. Okay, I'm going to skip a little bit. The phrase is Arel, which means uncircumcised. Doesn't mean sealed, which is it's a metaphor more than anything. Because right? What does it mean? What does it mean that something is uncircumcised? Uncircumcised means that there is a barrier which prevents you from getting to the good stuff. Okay, so now what does that mean? No. So in other words, sometimes it's a metaphor. We have, for example, we have Arlas Halev. Okay, what is Arlas Halev? Good luck circumcising the heart. Okay, I mean that's really not a very good idea. It means there's a coating which is preventing you from opening your heart to receiving God, receiving Torah, receiving Musar, whatever it may be. So Orlas Fasayim, Arel Fasayim means that I can't utilize my lips properly. Okay, now what does that mean? Does he have a stutter? Does he have a speech impediment? Or can he just not get the words out? Because
he was afraid.
Because there's a mind game which is being played. Okay? So skip to the third line, V'ulai, smack in the middle. V'ulai, ki yishpok kal v'chomer al zeh. I'm in the one that says, Heim b'nei Yisrael at the beginning, but I'm in the third line. Ki yishpok kal v'chomer al zeh derech, shagam ki b'nei Yisrael heim b'kotz ruach, yishpem gam kein beiz b'chinos. Okay, that there's this, what's a kal v'chomer? Kal v'chomer is where Moshe says, hey, if b'nei Yisrael didn't listen to me, and I'm their advocate, and I'm the guy who's coming to represent them because you sent me, God, on their behalf, if they didn't listen to me, how on earth is Paro going to listen to me? Or it's certainly Paro's not going to listen to me. So what's the point of this kal v'chomer? Ha'echad, first thing, shem bali emuno makirim malchus shemayim. One is that he is assuming that they are people of faith, and that they recognize God's kingship. The habeis. And the second thing that he's assuming is Shabbosurai Bisurah Tova, Vatsuma, that the news that he's going to take them out of Egypt is something which is good to them. Ubeiz Elu Einam Biparo. Right? Moshe is assuming that these two things are in the B'nai Israel. And despite their being in the B'nai Israel, that they have faith and that they know that it's good news, they still don't listen to him. So certainly Paro, who does not have those two things, right, they're not going to listen. You cover Beikar, Amar Mi Hashem, because the first thing that Paro said when Moshe shows up is he says, Mi Hashem, who's Hashem? I don't know. V'gam Devarim HaMachim HaSeinav, Anokim HaSlibo. There's just terrible things that Paro is saying. Imkein Kavachomer Nachonhu. So what Moshe is saying to God is actually a very good analogy. Uma Bnei Yisrael She'esh Mabes Midos HaNizkarim Lo Yitu Hashem Levavam L'shmoa V'lo Shamu Mitzad Tam Kol Shu She'esh Lam Kotzer Ruach. Right, they have this shortness of breath, etc. So how is Paro going to listen? Paro doesn't have these excuses, and he's certainly not going to listen. Okay, so he continues, and he said, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he says that Paro had a different kind of kotzer ruach, and Paro's not going to listen either. They still have kotzer ruach; they're not listening, and Paro has a different kind of kotzer ruach of an impatience. Now, skip to the third to last line. Sorry, it's actually the end of the fourth to last line, where it says, Ve'omro va'ani aral svasayim. Okay, so he says, the fact that when Moshe throws it at the end, it seems like an afterthought, where he says, they didn't listen, so Paro is certainly not going to listen, and I'm an aral svasayim. It's perish ve'od va'atsriya ki aral svasayim. He says that I have another concern, that there's this lip issue. Ve'yomer Paro, Shalit lama lo ripeas Moshe. Right, Paro is going to have another objection. If your God can do everything, then why can't he fix you? Right, Moshe is saying that if you know, Paro's not going to listen to me, and I'm an aral svasayim. Now, there are two ways to look at that aral svasayim issue. It could be that Moshe is saying that Paro is going to say, like the Or HaChaim says, that you know this is the loser that they're sending to me, a guy who can't get the words out. Okay, on the one hand, or God can't fix him, or not, okay, and on the other hand, Moshe is making an argument. Okay, you're sending me to Paro. Who did you send to talk to B'nai Israel?
Aaron.
Okay, you have to go back to the burning bush and actually see the pasuk, and you'll see that this is absolutely true. At the very end of the burning bush, Moshe says, Shlach Nabiyat Tishlach, and God says, Atalech, I'm sorry, that's you. I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to show you what to say. And then God says, "Hello, Aaron, achicha levi adati ki yedaber yedaber who the gami ne tzedek rozach barachav esamach libo." That Aaron is going to be with you, and he's going to okay. And look at pasuk tazayin. If you're there, it's page 310. V'diber hu lecha el ha'am, and he will speak on your behalf to the am. Who's the am? Am b'nei Yisrael. Okay, and in the previous passage, God says, I'm going to be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I'm going to tell you guys what to do. But Aaron's job primarily is going to be Moshe's spokesman to the B'nai Israel. And that, by the way, plays into this idea that Moshe's nervousness in speaking is in front of, no, is in front of a crowd. Whereas to talk to Paro one-on-one, Moshe could theoretically handle it. Except that there's another problem. And the other problem is that Moshe needs to get over this fact that Paro is a king. Because who's Moshe Rabbeinu?
Prince.
Okay, but Moshe's been gone for a while. So, you know, who's this Paro? We don't know what Moshe's relationship to this Paro is. Okay, we know what Cecil B. DeMille thinks. We know what what the DreamWorks thinks is that right that this is Paro's that this is Moshe's half brother, whatever his step brother. So we know that viewpoint, but nevertheless that's not clear, and it's certainly not in the text. And the idea that Moshe needs to come in and start talking to the king in a way in which he has to be assertive and he has to show strength, that is something which takes a little bit of training. Right, but I'm saying, but he needs a little bit of, I don't want to say training, but he needs a little bit of experience to get over it. Okay. And that's part of the problem. He knows if I don't have Bnei Israel on my side, I certainly don't have Paro on my side.
Yeah, he's the one that's talking to Hashem. And he has no problem doing that.
Well, Hashem is pretty supportive.
I understand, but of all the people in the whole world, he is the only one that gets to speak to Hashem face to face. When he does that, he seems very comfortable.
Yeah, okay, well, maybe he has that experience, right? And when he first has the burning bush, what does Moshe do? He turns his face. But Chazal say, you know how long he was at the burning bush for?
Back for a day.
I don't know that one. I know a week. That he was at the burning bush for a week. You can breed a little bit of familiarity. Okay, when he comes into Paro and says, let my people go, and Paro says, who the heck is your God? Get out of here. Work worse. Okay, that's a short conversation, and okay, Moshe walks out with his tail between his legs. So to say that there's a familiarity already, not like whatever took place at the burning bush. No way. Okay? So take a look at the next paragraph. Oh, Yirtzeh. Hold on a second. Okay. Oh, Yirtzeh. Let's say Shadikdei Hashem the Baruch Shemar Lebarshis Mos Al Aaron V'Diber Hu L'Chal La'Am Mikana Talamed Ki Ein Aaron L'Dafe El La'Am V'Lo L'Paro. Okay, and that's the point that I mentioned. So I'm not going to go into that any further, but I just wanted you to see that he's the one who just supported that idea that Aaron's job is to speak to Ben Israel, and Moshe's job is to speak to Paro. So that is another reason why Moshe is saying, Ani Aral Sfasayim, you keep telling me to go talk to Paro, but I don't know that that's such a good strategy. Okay, next pasuk. So we're now, turn over the page 3. Vayidaber Hashem. Okay, and that was it's the last pasuk in Rishon. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe v'al Aaron, v'etzavim v'nei Yisrael, v'paro v'nach l'tzrayim, l'tzis v'nei Yisrael v'nei Hashem speaks to Moshe and Aaron, and he commands them to Bnei Israel and to Paro, the king of Egypt, to take Bnei Israel out of Egypt. By the Be'er Hashem. So now we're in the Or HaChaim. Tzarech Ladas, Madi Be'er Hashem Lehem. Okay? What did Hashem say to them? O Tzarech Ladas, Kavanasam Omro Vayitzaveim El Paro. Also, so if Hashem is talking to them and he's commanding them, okay, because Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor means Hashem said to Moshe to say something. What is Hashem saying? Bo daber paro, that's instruction of something to do. That's not a quote. Right, if I say, Vayomra Hashem Moshe Limor, daber al b'nei Yisrael v'yamarta alihem. Okay, we can ask that question there also, by the way. Daber, v'yamarta, okay, we can ask that. V'yamarta alihem, v'yasu lahem tzitzis. Okay, so you can tell them, v'yasu lahem tzitzis. Now I understand. But he's giving Moshe instruction of what he's supposed to do. Okay, Vaydaber Hashem Moshe lemor. Hashem spoke to Moshe to say. And what's he supposed to say? Bo daber al par. No, that's instruction to Moshe of something he's supposed to do. So that's the confusing item that he's focusing on. Okay, so let's skip to the next paragraph. Achein anacho beinai, kibola shival tanaso, shelo akshivu Yisrael l'shmo dvorav. Okay, God is responding to Moshe in Moshe's taina, Moshe's complaint, or Moshe's claim that the people are not going to be machshiv Moshe. They're not going to view Moshe as important enough to listen to what he has to say. He says, and Moshe feels an inadequacy, an insecurity on account of his Aral Svasayim issue. However we want to translate that, I mean, he gives his own Peirashti, but the point is that, you know, I mean, he says that it was obviously something which was a little embarrassing. So here comes the answer. And what's that? By Daber Hashem El Moshe Ve'El Aharon. So Hashem says, Moshe, Aral Svasayim is your issue? Well, what's my response to your issue? Aaron. Okay, Perishish Ve'os Amashlichus. Hashem says, both of you have equal billing now. Up until now, Aaron was only supposed to speak to the Bnei Israel. But now he's going to speak to them too. Because they're equal billing. And he says, and you think that you're not chashuv enough, people are not going to listen to you? Vayitzaveim, what is Vayitzaveim? He commanded them. Perush, him licham al Bnei Israel ve'al paro. That God made Moshe and Aaron, he promoted them. He said, you guys are the kings now. You're the bosses. And what's his proof? Because in Shmuel Aleph, Yigimel, that's when Shaul is, you know, finalized. Umechadesham hamalucha, Shaul is finalized as a king. Vayitzaveu Hashem lenagid. Hashem makes him into a nagid. A nagid is a word which is, you know, I mean, essentially means a king. It's not the same word as melech. It's a big discussion what that means and the distinction between Nagid and Melech, but we'll just leave what it is. It's talking about Shaul, and Shaul's becoming a king. And Vayitzaveu means that God is appointing of that. So he named Moram al Yisrael al Paro. So now the fear of Moshe, so to speak, whatever that means in terms of just the reverence for a king, is on the Jewish people and on Paro. Okay? Skip a line. Let's see. Oh, or I'm sorry, where is it? Hikna. Where is it, Hikna? Yeah. Next line. It's the very next line, the second word. Right, if they're the king now, then it's going to be the case that the people will not refuse to leave and that Paro will not hold them back forever. That's crazy. Right? If there's a member of Bnei Israel who refuses to leave when it's actually time to leave, they can punish him. They can. Right. Okay. So. What?
Weren't there some Jews that
80%?
No, there were some who, according to Chazal, there are some who died during the plague of darkness. There was also another viewpoint that said there were a bunch who left early. But when they left, every last member of Bnei Israel left with them. He says that maybe this is what Moshe meant when he said that Bnei Israel did not listen. They did not want to leave. They said, let the son of Amram just leave us alone. And that's why Hashem says, Moshe and Aaron, you guys are both kings. Right? And so when Moshe and Aaron are appointed as kings by God through the word Vayitzaveim, then the Taina, the claim that the Bnei Israel, they don't listen, they have to listen now, because this is the king. And on Paro, Vaydaber Moshe Elav, Kedaber El Avdo, Kamosh Kenaya, Uzed Nisiyashu Dvar Malachon. That's it. The Vayitzaveh means that they were appointed as kings. Ela Roshe. Okay, so now the Chumash continues with Shani. Yeah.
I was always taught that the Chamushim
Okay, so we're introduced now to the family of Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and it's clear because once it goes into Levi, it goes all the way through Levi, all the way down until we get to Aaron and Moshe, and even into Aaron's children, all the way down to Pinchas. So why is this here? Why is this here? Okay, and at the very end of it, if you look, the first pasuk, the first two psukim in Shlishi on page 322 is Vayidaber Hashem Moshe l'Emor Ani Hashem. Okay, we've seen that already. Daber al Paro Melech Mitzrayim Es Klal Sheinu Gever Alecha. Tell Paro everything that I've told you. Vayom Moshe l'Fnei Hashem Hein Ani Aras V'Sayim Ve'Ech Yishmai Lai Paro. So Moshe says this again, right? It seems that it's a repeat. Now, it's not the same, because last time Moshe said, Bnei Yisrael didn't listen to me, so how will Paro listen? And I'm an Aras V'Sayim. Here he says, I'm an Aras V'Sayim. How will Paro listen to me? So obviously, Moshe's concerns that Bnei Yisrael are not going to listen have been addressed, and Moshe seems to be satisfied with the way that was taken care of. So whether it's the Or HaChaim's view that he is a melech, now he's a king, or whether it's the whether it's just pshat in the pasuk that the response to their response, Moshe's first response, the first response to Moshe was that Aaron is going to be with you. So Moshe says, "Hold on, but I got this problem about it being aral sfasayim," and so in response to that, I'm sorry, no, Moshe says, I'm an Aras V'Sayim, and so Hashem says, no, you and Aaron are kings, and Aaron's going to go with you to Paro as well, so he's going to be your spokesperson. So that is satisfactory, and then, that's satisfactory to Moshe, insofar as dealing with the Bnei Yisrael, because, fine, and then the rest of this might be also satisfying the Bnei Yisrael, because now they know who Moshe and Aaron are, because it's telling us who Moshe and Aaron are. Oh, they're from Levi. Oh, they're from Kahas. Oh, they're from Amram. Oh, now we know who these guys are. Oh, we've known Aaron all along. Oh, Moshe's his brother. Okay, so we get it. So that response.
Do you have any knowledge that Moshe was brought up in the house of Paro?
I'm sure people knew that.
So did that play into why they didn't trust him?
Could be. Certainly, according to Cecil B. DeMille. Okay, anyway. Okay. All right, so let's continue here. Okay. Eile Roshay. So now I'm back in the Or HaChaim. We're in the middle of page 3. Eile Roshay. Ta'am Shalom is Parv Bnei Yisrael Moshe. The reason why it gives us the names, or the numbers rather, Bnei Yisrael until Moshe, Levi Ma'ashe Parashti B'Samach Shem Licham Al Yisrael, Yichesu Samachas Elomar Ke'en Ma'idun Al Yisrael Elom Yuchas Ad Yaakov. Okay, so what it's showing us is that if they're kings, we need to know how they come from Yaakov, because otherwise they can't be kings. And that's why we don't see their lineage prior to this, because Hashem just made them king, and therefore that's why we need to find their lineage. Who are Aaron and Moshe? Perush Yuchas and Parshim. Asher Amar Hashem Lehem. Otziu Perush Letzad Sheish Biyadim Mechalos Letzii Sheim Malchei Paro Melech Mitzrayim Ubnei Yisrael. So again, they're kings over Paro. He's just proving his point over and over again, how they can now be successful. Next one, Omro Heimam Edabrim, and the fact that the pasuk says that these are the guys who are going to be talking to Paro, Perush Kemelech Hagozer Al Avdo Bidvar Sfasayim Lasos Davar. They're the ones who can talk like a king who makes a decree with the words of his mouth. Odi Chavein Lodi Asher Gam Shetim Sechamar Kasuv Shidaber Moshe Teda Ki Gam Aaron Diber Kasher Ver Pasuk Vayhi Bayom Biyom Diber Hashem. Okay, so he says that you see that Moshe speaks and Aaron speaks. The next one, we don't have to read inside who Moshe and Aaron, just shows that they are equal in stature. Now let's skip to the one that he just mentioned, which is Vayhi Biyom Diber Hashem. Okay, the last one on page 3. All right. Let me see. I want to get to the main point here, which is around halfway down. Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem Zehu B'Mitzrayim. Okay, so it's probably the top out of the next page, actually. It's after the parentheses. You see the parentheses? Yeah, so it's the beginning of the second line. Yeah, the second line. Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem Zeh Yab Mitzrayim Va'amar Lo She'ir Lechu V'daber Al Paro. Lo Aaron. So originally God said that you're the one who's going to be going to Paro, not Aaron. Vagam shikvar shitef Hashem imo Aaron. Hinei biyarti etev shem b'mkomo she'Aaron yidaber la'am. I've already told you, the Or HaChaim says, Aaron's job originally was to talk to the Bnei Israel. Aval Paro adayin Hashem chafes shidaber Moshe v'ritza oso be'omro ani Hashem lo tachush Hashem davar. God was still counting on the fact that Moshe was going to talk to Paro. Now, how could it be that Moshe is going to talk to Paro? Right, I mean, anytime I've ever seen a Jewish dramatization of this, they have Moshe coming into Paro and going, Seriously? I mean, come on. How wrong is that? Okay, that's not that can't be your spokesperson. Okay, with all due respect to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's why I'm giving all due respect to Moshe Rabbeinu, it can't be that he has a stutter, or he has a speech impediment. It can't be. It has to mean something else. Whatever, that's fine. So again, that's a confidence issue.
Right.
Listen, people have told me, people here in the early days that say, Rabbi, over time your presentation have been, more confident and whatever. I honestly don't know a difference, but I don't see it. Other people see it. So that could very well be. I mean, that's anything. As you grow in a position and you're comfortable, the presentations become more more suitable for the position. So,
When I took that course, I couldn't get words out.
He says, no, I have this problem. So Paro's not going to. Right? What's the concern about the Eras V'Sayim? It's Paro's perspective. Right? I have this issue. Whatever the issue is. And it's because Paro is not going to be able to just, he's not going to come to grips with whatever my issue is. Azamar Hashem Lamoshe, so God says to Moshe, you got to see, Aaron Achichi, Daber al Paro, Aaron, your brother, is going to talk to Paro, Perish, Gan the Paro, Midlavad Am. He will talk to Paro in addition to, he's talking to the nation. Umiata, Yishvu Aaron, Moshe, B'mitzvah Zos, and now Moshe and Aaron are equated. Well, Zetim Tesh, Lo Amar Hashem Lamoshe, B'midbar, Kishishite Vimo Aro, Eskalach, Avanosa Elu, Amarim Khan, V'ayelachalos, Kim Dvarim Chanashim, Kim Kamitama Amur. So now when God's giving Moshe instruction, because the instruction has essentially changed, because it wasn't supposed to be Aaron who was going to be talking before Paro, it was supposed to be Moshe. So it's his way of accounting for everything. So Moshe says at the end, "Hein ani aras v'sayim ve'echishma elai Paro." So what's the next thing that God says to him? Look at pasuk zayin. "Vayomer shem el Moshe re'eni satiha elohim leParo." You're a god to Paro, but you're concerned that the way you speak or whatever it is going to be a problem. Aaron achicha yeh neviyecha v'dibatot daber iskol asher tzevach. You're going to say everything. That's still the game plan. But Aaron achicha yidaber el Paro. But now you'll say it, and then however you're going to say it, whether they hear you, they don't hear you, they see that the words are coming from you, and then Aaron will speak it over until you get your confidence. Okay, who talks to Paro in the whole Parshas Va'era? Who talks to Paro? Moshe, yeah, Moshe's the one who does all the talking.
We never actually.
The only time we see Aaron speaking is in front of the people back in last week's parsha. We don't see Moshe. We don't see Aaron speaking. We see instruction, right? And look at the beginning of Re.
Yomer Hashem el Moshe ve el Aaron lemor. Okay, and what's the lemor? That when Paro says, Purvi, page 324, that when Paro says, give a sign, you're going to tell Paro, you're going to tell Aaron, rather, Kachas matachav eshlech lufnei Paro, to throw your stick down before Paro. Okay? So that's what we have to assume happened. The Torah doesn't tell us anything else. It just says, Vayeshlech Aaron esmateu, and that it says, Vayasuchain.
He doesn't say a word. He just really throws a stick.
Correct.
Well, it doesn't say who spoke at all.
It just says, Vayasuchain. Kasher Tzivashen, that they did, which was what? That Moshe, you're going to tell Aaron what to do, and he's going to do it. Okay? So again, we're just doubling down on the idea that it is not clear that Moshe, no, I'm sorry, that that Aaron is doing any talking.
So
okay?
How does that alleviate the problem?
Well, you have to assume if Aaron's not doing the talking, then Moshe.
Right, then Moshe's doing it.
Yeah, Moshe was afraid to talk.
No, but the point is that just, sometimes it's like, If somebody has a,
you have your big brother next to you,
right? Exactly. Right? You ever watch Judge Judy? Somebody comes in and they have their best friend. Yeah. What are they? The best friend doesn't even say a word. But that without that support, they don't feel confident enough to say. Correct. All right. So let's move on. All right. Let's see. So we're up to Parak Zion. Okay. And I wanted to. All right. So let's look at Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav. Vayas Moshe v'Aaron kasher tzivu Hashem osom kenasu. So look at the Pasuk Vav. Vayas Moshe. Okay. Tzarech. Let me ask that. I'm not sure what that is. Lama kafa lomar kasher tzivu. Kenasu. They did what like was commanded. That's what they did. The fact that it's telling us two ways in which they did it means that there were two aspects of their actual action. So, whatever they what came to them, they understood. And the second one is and that they appreciated the truth of what they were being told. Okay, so that's a short one. It's just a way of explaining the two ways of how things were presented to them. Okay, now let's turn the page. No, I'm sorry, you keep it on that page. Let's turn the page in the Chumash. Okay, because now we're going to get into the plagues. Okay, so we're skipping the Tanin episode, okay, and we're actually skipping the instruction to Moshe. What I'm not reading to you in Pasuk Zion is the idea that the Nile was a god to Egypt. Okay, so this is actually an interesting question to consider. I think we're all familiar with what Rashi says. So why does Moshe go to the river? Because Paro would hide the fact that he needed to use his bodily functions. So he'd go early in the morning to take care of business and washing, etc., at the Nile. That's one view. The Or Chaim says, no, why go down to the river? Because what's the plague against? The river. What's the river?
No.
A god. No. Right? It's an Eloah. The Nilus is an Eloah of Mitzrayim. Nilus, Hayel Mitzrayim, Eloah. It was a god. And so the point is that Paro would do whatever he was doing there in terms of saying, look, Paro is a god, the Nile is a god, we're all, having communion together. And now Moshe is coming down to the river and saying, okay, Paro, our God is actually going to control and manipulate your God, and he's going to, he's going to show you that whatever you think is holy and special is nothing in the hands of our God. So that's one idea. That's Pasuk Zion.
So it's directed against the Avodah Zarah.
Correct. That is a theme. There are a lot of ways to look at the reasons for the different makos. I do want to get to what I think is his best summary of all that, because we're getting to the end of our time here. So, but I put two checks at Pasuk Chaf. So let's see what it says here. So this actually, Rashi. I hate to say this, but I think that Rashi does us a disservice, because if you look at the Pasuk Zion, go back to Pasuk Zion. Komar Hashem, you're going to say to Paro, Komar Hashem, Zos Tedaki Hashem. With this, you will know that I'm God. Who's going to be saying this? Moshe. Behold, I am going to strike with the staff that is in my hand, Alamayim Asher Bayor, on the water which is in the river, they're going to turn to blood, and the fish in the river are going to die, and the river is going to become disgusting. Okay, that is what Moshe is supposed to say to Paro. That's the instruction which was given to him. Ayomar Hashem Moshe, Emor al Aharon. So Hashem says to Moshe, say to Aaron the following. Aaron is being told to take his own staff, not Moshe's staff, but Aaron's staff, on all these other waterways. And they'll turn into blood, and there'll be blood everywhere, including in the wood and in the stones. Moshe and Aaron did exactly what they were told, as God had commanded. Who's that describing? He took his staff and he struck the water that's in the Yaor. That's what Moshe was supposed to tell Paro he was going to do in front of Paro. And then the second half of the pasuk, "Vayevchu kol amayim asher bayor ledam." I'm sorry, no, that's still Moshe. "Vayevchu kol amayim asher bayor ledam." V'adagah asher bayor meitzav vayivash hayor Okay, that's exactly what Moshe said was going to happen when I do my act. And then the next five words, Adam, what's that? And there was blood everywhere in Egypt. That's what Aaron was supposed to do, because Aaron was told, touch your staff, Al Mei Mei Mitzrayim, Al Narosam, Al Yoraham, Al Agmehem, Al Kol Mikveh Mei Mehem. So there are two things there. Moshe has his action and Aaron has his action. So the fact that, you know, that Rashi quotes the Midrash and says that Moshe couldn't touch the Or because he was saved by the Or. I mean, that's just not what the Pasuk says. But that's not what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says that Aaron does all the water everywhere except for the Or. Moshe does the Or. Anyway, so we ask Moshe Aaron. Take a look at the Or HaChaim, Pasuk Chaf, second to last thing on the page. Perish Kisha Asu Moshe Aaron, Maaseh HaKa'as HaYor. Right, when Moshe and Aaron did the act of striking the Or, what happened? Naseh Sapula, when Iskayem HaRatzon, Kilu Oysa Mitzvah Hashem, Yipir Baruch Hu, Lior Sheyehafech Ladam. It was as if it was a commandment of God from his own mouth that the river should turn into blood. Okay, and he says, so look at the pasuk before, look at the pasuk afterwards to see what I'm telling you about Moshe. That Moshe does. Moshe is doing everything. Moshe is not... It's not that he passes the buck to Aaron and everything. Only when God says Aaron is going to do something, that Aaron is going to do something. But if God says Moshe is going to do it, then Moshe is going to do it. So that's just an important...
I don't know if Yoram B'matev V'yacha Samayim is referring to Moshe. It says, but right before that it says V'yasu Chayim Moshe Aaron.
Right, and the Torah gave us very clear instruction. Look at Pasuk Yitzayin. Moshe is told to tell Paro. Ko amar Hashem, bezos tedaki in Hashem. This is how you're going to know that I am God. Hine anochi, I. Who's I? Moshe. Makab amateh asher yadi alamayim. That I'm going to strike this water with this staff in my hand. Asher by yor. The yor. One body of water. A big body of water, but one body of water. V'nefchu adam, and it's going to turn into blood. V'adagash by yor tamus, and the blood, and the fish rather. In this Yor, the one that Moshe is going to strike, is going to die. Uva Asha Yor, that same body of water is going to become gross. That's Moshe's job. Moshe's job is Yor. Aaron's job, everything else. Okay, so we're going to have to finish with just one final thing here, because we're basically out of time. So let me tell you which commentary that is. It's the one at the beginning of Parakas. Okay, now I promise you everything that I gave you is good stuff. But we are basically out of time, so we're going to look at Perkes, okay? And is the first comment that I gave you in Perkes, because this is his summary of all of the Makos. And I will just say, I also gave you there is one question that I thought I came up with an answer, and the Or HaChaim is just supporting it, and that is in the plague of Dever, the plague of the pestilence on the animals. Where they die, so you know it says Vayamas Kol Miknei Mitzrayim, that all of the cattle of Egypt died. Okay, but later on we find that there is more Miknei Mitzrayim. So he says, learning the lesson from Barad, and by the way, Barad and Dever have the same letters, which is kind of cool. Beis Resh and Dalet, okay, which is cool. They're also both called Kaved Ma'od. There are a number of parallels between Barad and Dever, but anyway, he says that it's clear that every animal that died was the animal that was in the sadeh, in the field. Otherwise, if the animals were brought inside, they didn't die. Okay, and we learned that from Barad, and we apply it to Dever, and that's how we get this. But the Or HaChaim said that, so that just gives me support for this idea that I, you know, picked up somewhere or came up with. I don't remember. All right, so I want to look at this just Parakas, the first comment that I gave you, which is Pasuk Dalet. So we're in the middle now of page 5. It is a longer paragraph, but it'll go pretty nicely, smoothly. Okay, what is Pasuk Dalet? Pasuk Dalet is in the middle of the plague of frogs. Vayikra Paro L'Moshe L'Aaron. Paro calls to Moshe. It's the bottom page 328 in the Chumash, last Pasuk. Paro calls to Moshe L'Aaron. He says to him, Hatiru El Hashem. Right, pray to your God. Now, Hatiru, by the way, we have this form of prayer in Yitzchak and Rivka. Remember, by Yatar Yitzchak L'Hashem L'Nochach Ishto, and I don't remember which commentary noted that the in Ater, it's like, you know, Iter Yad. No, that's is that spelled the same way? No, it's not spelled that way. But it has something to do with like a spade. It's a different kind of It's a different kind of form of prayer to uproot something. So Paro says, "Hatiru el Hashem, v'yaseret tzvardim imeni umeami, get rid of the frogs, v'ashalcha esam, and I will send the nation to be used b'chul Hashem." Okay? So you see how quickly Paro agrees to let the Bnei Israel go. Now, I mean, I'm sure I read this so many times, I did not pay attention to this until I saw the Bible film Moses, starring Ben Kingsley as Moses. Okay? Which you can find on YouTube for free. Anyway, so I don't remember if I watched the whole thing, but I saw it. And Moshe comes out during the plague of frogs, and everybody's congratulating him. Oh, we can leave. I'm like, oh, let me look that up. Oh my God, it's there. Okay? Now, Paro lets the people go a bunch of times. He lets them go after frogs. He lets them go after Arov. He lets them go after Barad. Okay? He almost lets them go before Arba, before the locusts, and after the Arba. Okay, and after the locusts, but each time he has a condition, who can go, or he changes his mind afterwards. Okay, like sometimes he'll say, you can go only the men, or you can go with your animals if the children have to stay behind, or you can take your, you know, whatever it is. So this is what he focuses on. Hatiru el Hashem, take a look at the Orachem. Tzarek l'das, lama lo pono boil beisob makazo, kamo sha'asub makas adam, halogam ezzoz haru chartamav ki asu gam hema. Why doesn't Paro go to his house, okay, as he did in the plague of blood? I mean, the Khartoumim, the magicians showed him that they could do it too. Achein piv ana botam argashato bazo, v'chol kiyotzi ba shurgash v'kral emotions pal v'yado. And here you see that his mouth basically conveyed his emotions, in which he asked Moshe to pray on his behalf. Ki lo yom espoil, he was not moved, ela kisha emus maves nafla alav. When was Paro inspired to ask for assistance? When he was afraid he was going to die. V'zeh seder makosav. Okay, and so this is the way, so now the Orach Chaim goes through each makah and says, was there a fear of death? Now I will tell you that with none of the makos, prior to the plague of the firstborn, was there an intent to kill on God's behalf. That's why the last one is the most devastating. Okay, so, and Arov, by the way, there are 20 interpretations at least of what Arov may have been. So if you're thinking Wizard of Oz, lions and tigers and bears, then you haven't done your research, because that's one opinion. There are other opinions. And basically, they were meant to be a super annoyance, but they weren't necessarily meant to kill. Rishona Makas Dam, the first is the plague of blood. Ki lo hayu lo ba sakanas mavis, there was not a danger of death. Mine let's mayo matzulo siwase or right. The Torah tells us people were digging around the ore, so if they were able to dig, they can find an underwater well that Aaron was not able to turn. Or as the Midrash says, they could buy the water. Not all of the water in Egypt turned into blood. Okay, so that's number one. Oh, hey, Kodem Yisrael zelo negeshem. And I saw one. I don't remember if it was Xava Kabbalah or somebody I saw recently. Last year, probably, who said that the reason why Paro didn't care about the plague of blood is because he probably had a storage facility which was filled with wine, and so the plague was not on wine. So Paro had plenty of drinks. What did he care? Okay, next, Makas Tzvardeya, the plague of frogs. Hayubo Shnei Dvar, and there were two things. One, Harashas Hakol, right? The frogs are very loud. Asheni Shayu Nichnasim B'Me'ehim. The other one is that they would actually jump into people. They'd go down their throats. Now, you know the expression, you got a frog in your throat. Well, if you got a frog in your esophagus, you have a problem. Okay, so he says, into you and into your nation, so you don't know if you're going to survive this. In other words, perush mitok b'nei me'ov. He says, you got to get the frogs out of me. I mean, they're in me. This is a problem. Literally. So there's a fear of death. Makas kinim, the plague of lice. Ki agam shitz dire. Avalein shem zakanas mavas kitzvardim. Lice are annoying. We all agree. They're very uncomfortable. But to die? Nah, it doesn't get in there in the same way that the frogs do. Okay? Right, you have to worry that the frogs are going to harm your intestines. But to send a trefoil, even though he knew this was the finger of God, and the Paris magician said, "Oh, we can't do this." I mean, he was able to strengthen his heart because there was no fear of death. Makas arov. So the Aruch Haim is making a choice, and he's suggesting that these are wild animals, even though, as I mentioned, there are a number of different interpretations about this. But he says, "Emus shein behemos." He's afraid of the bite. Shein means teeth, right? The bite of the animals. So shalach Hashem, bo vayira ad beotz. He was very afraid, and so that's why he offered to send them. Right. Okay. Or if it's snakes. Okay, it could be poisonous bites. Correct. Okay, number hey, makas dever letzad choice of mikne levad, because what of the dever, the pestilence? It only affected the animals. All right, no people are in harm's way. It's only animals. That's what power goes to see. Who died? Animals. Bah. All right, the animals from animals. No problem. Vav makas shchin letzad shloi bo sakana. Right, what are boils? It's a plague. It's a disease. Is it a fatal disease?
One second. When the animals start dying, isn't that a threat to your food supply?
Not if the wild animals.
No, I mean, no. They were farm animals. No, in Dever, they were farm animals. But it depends. I mean, it doesn't seem that they were big meat eaters, right? I mean, the whole thing. Yosef. I mean, I don't know what they use the sheep for. Wool, whatever it may be.
Also, all right.
I just don't know that they were big meat eaters in the time of Yosef. You know, They gave all their animals to Paro, right? Why? Okay. Hello, you guys have plenty of food there if you keep your animals alive. No.
I guess they
okay, next one. Shrin. So he says that there's no danger, right? It's not a fatal disease. Okay, that's essentially what he argues there. So there's no reason to let the people go after Shrin. Next, Zayin, Makas Bara, Letzad She, here, Ima, Shemi Shemaim, Nasim Kolos, Ve'esh, Ben Shemaim. It's very frightening. Okay, there's thunder, there's lightning, there's ice and fire coming down from the heavens. So and in Egypt, of course, we know it doesn't rain. Very bad weather. It doesn't rain in Egypt. This is frightening stuff. So, and it looks like it's a what does he have there? He says a masav afachad sheyasal kamafei chasadom v'amora. They might think the place is going to overturn like what happened to Sodom and Amora. So that's a fear of death. Okay, was that the intent? Hayireas Dvar Hashem, you fear God, stay inside. You're not in danger. But there's a fear. Next, Makas Arbe, Pivon Abo, Kimash Nisrage, Shulut Sachi Yare Yiras Mabes. He even, Paro even called the locusts eating all the food. Talk about the food supply, right? He called the plague a death. Okay, so there you go. There's a fear of death. That's why before and after he allows them to go. In the plague of darkness, we don't see him doing it. But he says maybe for the first 3 days, I said, "All right, it's dark, whatever. You know, we can get by with our flashlights." And the last 3 days, what is v'yameish choshech? Right, they couldn't move, so there was nothing that Paro could do to ask Moshe to get rid of it. It just needed to pass through its time. Okay, and the last thing is as soon as. The darkness passes. Look at the last two lines. Moshe Amar Elav Sheilchu Ela Sheyitnu Bitachom Yem Sheyachzru V'lo Kibel Moshe. And Moshe was asked, "I'll let you go, but you have to promise me that you're going to come back." And Moshe didn't accept that. Why? Because it was too late, and so and the plague was already over. So that's why he didn't ask him to pray. So essentially, the Aruch Haim is showing us, as I think made very clear, is that when there's a fear of death, that's when Paro is more clear about his his own concerns. I wish we had more time; we could do more, but we'll just stop here. And I hope that again, this is just giving you different insights in the parsha that you may not have seen before.